Well, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources has its usual full agenda as we move from this very cool, wet early spring into warmer, drier days. Back with us for our annual DNR update is Director Keith Cray. Keith, always a pleasure having you on the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
I mentioned how wet and cool it's been. Let's start with something that I know that you're very passionate about, and that's wetlands. And there's a proposal on the table, and you can tell us where it is, about wetland mitigation, and you call it banking, wetland mitigation banking on public lands. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, a couple of things first, Kurt. Certainly wetlands play a very critical role in Michigan, and as you know, with 20% of the world's fresh water, we need to pay attention to water. And wetlands help filter out many of the nutrients and contaminants, and so it's important to have highly functional, high-value wetlands in this state. So what we're doing as a department is we're partnering with the townships and the counties, the drain commissioners, road commissioners, and as people start improving infrastructure in this state, which, as you know, has been underinvested in, we're going to use public lands as a wetland mitigation bank because there will be some minor disturbances, and this is really an opportunity for public land to provide a solution to taxpayers.
So how is it going to work, essentially?
Essentially, what we have is we have state game areas around the state, and some of those are prior converted wetlands. In other words, maybe agricultural lands that weren't real productive. We can break some tiles on that. We can then put that back into wetlands, and then we can provide high-value, high-functioning recreation opportunities for people around the state.
And model wetlands mitigation for those people who might be considering doing it, like the farmers you just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is that if you can be thoughtful and you can have larger blocks of land, and you can have waterfowl, different wildlife, and then you can provide that in. The basic premise is why buy the land twice? And one of the large cost centers, if you will, on wetland mitigation banking is that you have to manage the land in perpetuity as a high-value natural resource function. And the Natural Resource Department does that very well.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking about water. We're talking about wetlands. Let's go to our lakes, streams, and rivers. When things settle down here, there will be a lot of boaters out there. We'll be talking about invasive species again and what have you. A little bit about where we are with the Army Corps of Engineer report on invasive species coming into the Great Lakes through the Chicago River, and why that report hasn't been released yet, and then what boaters can do to help mitigate this problem.
Boy, that's a great question, and invasive carp is something we all need to take very seriously. And as you know, we've had great bipartisan support with our congressional delegation. We had all 16 senators of the 8 Great Lakes states say that there needs to be action, and to this point in time, there has not been action. And that's not acceptable. We should not tolerate invasive carp in the Great Lakes, pure and simple. So we're working with the congressional delegation. The governor's working with his colleagues and counterparts with other governors. We'll work with the Great Lakes governors and premiers and try to get some movement from the Army Corps of Engineers on the Chicago area waterway system at Brandon Lock and Dam.
I don't want to press you on this one, but do you know why this report has been held up, why it's on the shelf?
I think it's fairly normal practice as new administrations come in to take a pause and to look at what's in process and then review what's in process to make sure that the expenditures are giving you a return on your investment. So I'm not as concerned with the pause as with what's the long-term plan and what's the commitment to action.
Well, while we're waiting for this, these recommendations to be released from the Army Corps, the boating season will be starting soon. What can Michigan boaters, outdoors people, do to help mitigate this problem?
Well, being a responsible boater, individuals really ought to be looking at a couple things. One is let's not transport invasive weeds around the Great Lakes. So that's one thing you can do is make sure your boat trailers aren't taking Eurasian milfoil and some of the aquatic weeds around. Two is you can certainly purge and dry your bilges, make sure that you're not taking water, you know, from one boat landing to another. So it's really clean, dry, and then reuse.
You know, as long as we're talking about invasive species and mitigation, the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative has been very successful, a number of programs you're very familiar with. There is a problem right now with the potential defunding of the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative that's been proposed by the Trump administration. How do you see this?
Well, we're actually in D.C. a couple weeks ago talking to our congressional delegation, and it really is a nonpartisan issue, as some of the previous speakers on your show have articulated, because the Great Lakes need to be supported. It is a unique ecosystem. It is 20% of the world's fresh water, and we need to pay attention to it. And so the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, it does everything from providing habitat for sturgeon and along the Detroit River, making sure that that habitat's being restored, to invasives, to spawning reefs for ciscos. And so it's a very important program, and we'll continue to work with the administration, with Congress, and see if we can't get that back in the budget.
One of the arguments has been that, you know, this is something that local governments should be paying for, states, Great Lakes states should be paying for. But the contribution that the states and the local and the cities along the Great Lakes Basin are already making is huge.
Yeah. For instance, in state government, we put a significant amount of money into habitat and habitat restoration. And to not pay attention to the Great Lakes from a regional perspective is very concerning and problematic. And if you look across the country, whether it's Chesapeake Bay or the Everglades, when there's a unique ecosystem and a system that benefits the region, there should be some investment.
We're talking all things natural resources with the director of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, Keith Cray. I might say Dr. Keith Cray, recently received an honorary doctorate from his alma mater at Michigan Tech. Keith, before we continue, congratulations on being Dr. Keith Cray.
Well, thanks a lot. I did have the pleasure of giving a commencement speech and receive an honorary doctorate from Michigan Tech. And it's, as I say, I was humbled and honored to do that, so I appreciate the honor.
Well, exceedingly well-deserved. Let's go to a subject that I know, again, like a lot of them, near and dear to your heart, the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund. I think I read recently over $1 billion to date in projects that this fund has provided for. And there is some legislation that's pending that may be problematic for the fund. Give us a little background.
So the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund really started in the late 70s, and it was under Governor Milliken. And it was all based upon the extraction of oil and gas in the Pigeon River. And the philosophy was, if you take one non-renewable resource, you should invest in another non-renewable resource for current and future generations. And the trust fund has been supported by the voters of this state at least twice. At almost, I think it was 66% of the people in this state said, we need to constitutionally protect the trust fund, make sure that it is not an annual allocation for short-term projects, but a long-term vision for the people of this state.
And so, you know, I have to say this, we have a place up in Sutton's Bay, and I was out with my dog even last summer, and I came across this little park up there, and there was a sign. This park was funded by the Natural Resources Trust Fund. I mean, just one small example of any number of projects around the state that are a direct result.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In fact, if you're accessing many of the lakes or the Great Lakes or local parks, those have been a joint partnership between the state and local units of government to make sure that we have high-value recreational opportunities.
Now, without drilling too far into the details, but as I understand it, proposals are scored by folks in your shop, and then recommendations are made to a commission that oversees the fund, and they have the final authority. This legislation that's pending may jeopardize that authority.
Well, and with all due respect, certainly the legislature appropriates funds, and we're well aware of that and cognizant of that, and we need to work closely with the legislature to assure that that happens. However, the Constitution sets up that this fund is constitutionally protected, and it's based upon recommendations made by the board. We have a very good board. We have Steve Hamp, head of the Ford Foundation, Eric McDonough, that used to be executive director for Michigan United Conservation Clubs, now head of Michigan Oil and Gas Association, Bill Rustem, who's been around the environmental conservation community forever, Sam Cummings, who's a great community asset in Grand Rapids, and the DNR director, myself, and we all sit on the trust fund board. So it really is with an eye on the future, and that's what is unique about the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund is its long-term view, because we're in it for the long haul.
So even if Senate Bill 280 happens to get passed, there may be a constitutional challenge, and maybe it won't be passed at all.
I have great faith in my legislative partners that as the bill is receiving hearings and is highly vetted, that there will either be changes to it or that it will not be in its current form.
My guest is Keith Cray, director of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Keith, let's move. You're an avid hunter, fisherman. Wildlife management, we haven't talked about that for a while, and the importance of wildlife management and then some of the challenges in that domain.
Boy, I appreciate that question. First, for your listeners, now's the time to get out on the Detroit River and do the Detroit River Disco. You'll see those boats out there sliding in and out, and there's a couple hundred thousand walleyes caught on that river, and now's the time to be out walleye fishing. And so I'd have to put in that plug in. But two, facing wildlife in this state is some fairly significant diseases. We know we have TB and free-range white-tailed deer in northeast Michigan. We know that we had EHD that took out some deer populations locally. Now we have chronic wasting disease, and that's a tough one, and that's one that we'll be focusing on, and we really need the support from hunters from around this state. I think you'll see us propose some rule changes, perhaps not being able to import carcasses from any state outside of Michigan, because right now the rules are you can't bring in a carcass from a known positive chronic wasting disease state. Well, if we go along that path, the CWD is already established in that state, and we're closing the door after a horse is already out of the barn.
Well, as I understand it, these various diseases among the deer have pretty much in Michigan historically been confined to very selected areas, mostly in northeast Michigan.
Exactly. So a chronic wasting disease, we have a low prevalence in mid-Michigan here. There's five counties. We've tested over 12,000 deer. Nine of them are positive. Eight of them have a direct family relationship. So we have a pretty good handle on what's happening. And my thanks to Michigan State University. They've done a lot of research, a lot of high-end genomics, and we can actually trace some of that. And then we have over in Mecosta County, we have a situation behind a high fence operation where a producer sent in two heads that came back as positive. And now we're doing the high-end forensics to figure out where those heads really came from and what the cause was.
Yeah, that's a constant. And I know you work very closely with the state veterinarian on all of these issues.
Absolutely. It's a seamless program between us, Michigan State University, and the Michigan Department of Ag and Rural Development.
Now, just as a casual observer, I've noticed a lot more raptors over the last two or three years in the state of Michigan. I've noticed a lot more turkeys as I've been driving around the great state of Michigan. What are some of the success stories with respect to wildlife management in recent years, and what are some of the challenges besides deer?
Michigan has unique natural resources. We have outstanding natural resources. Reintroduction of turkeys in this state is a great success story. And so we go down the list. We're number one in woodcock, number three in grouse, and we can go on and on that list. So we have, because of our situation, because of the water, because of the flyways, we got great duck hunting, we have great upland bird hunting, we have good deer hunting. And so there's a number of those issues out there, though, that comes to that. For instance, with ducks, the question to the wildlife biologist is, what are we going to do with high path avian influenza if it gets in the flyway? And that's a real question about how do you manage wildlife so that it's healthy? And then how do you make sure that we work with high-end researchers to maintain that health of the herd?
Yeah, and one thing that's always been true down at the DNR is the scientific-based management that you use, reaching out to experts not only in Michigan but all over the country to help solve some of these problems.
Yeah, and that's where I really appreciate the voters' support when they pass scientific game management, and they compel us to make sure we get our science right, and that's the right way to manage wildlife.
Keith, among many hats that you have, you're a member of the Michigan Pipeline Safety Advisory Board. We've been at the last two public meetings of the Pipeline Safety Advisory Board. A lot of passion, a lot of differing opinions on Line 5. We're waiting on some reports, but give us an update from the DNR perspective.
So that's a very complex question and issue. The reason we have a pipeline is because we took tankers off the Great Lakes. And no one wants an oil spill in the Great Lakes. That's not acceptable. And that will have long-term implications and potentially damage. And so the question is, one, what are the alternatives? And so there's a study out there looking at the alternatives. Are there other ways other than the pipeline underneath the straits to deliver product throughout the state? So what are the alternatives and what are the risks? And both those need to come together to figure out what's the path forward. We all know that you need robust inspections, you need a high-end regulatory response, you need to make sure that you have the environmental safeguards in place and that we cannot tolerate a spill in the Great Lakes.
Well, these two reports that are due out in June are much anticipated. It's going to be very interesting to see what these consulting firms have to say about potential risks and alternatives.
Absolutely, and that's what I appreciate my colleagues on the board, is it does have a good broad representation from the different stakeholders and interests, and part of it is we need to do our business and we need to be thoughtful and deliberative in our answers.
And the last thing, Keith, I was running out. We've got so many more subjects, but I just re-upped my license plates for the coming year, and I've got the passports on all three of my vehicles. But that program continues to be successful as our parks open up. Let's go get them.
I appreciate that plug. The Rec Passport's the best deal in town. $11 to get you into all the state parks, but it does more. It really supports natural resources, a way of life, and our heritage in the state of Michigan.
Well, Keith, we covered a lot of ground as usual. It's a pleasure talking with you. My guest has been Dr. Keith Cray, the director of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Keith, always a pleasure having you on the program.
Thanks for having me.